Hello, everybody. This is G, and you are listening to the SITREP Modern Miniature Wargaming Podcast. This is episode number 10. Yes, you heard that right, number 10. And with me, as always, is Chris from up in Canada. And Chris, how are you today?
I am good. It's good to be inside. It's snowing here.
Is it really?
There's a lot of snow coming down right at the moment.
Well, I figured, you know, it is up in the Great White North that you eventually get that snow. So,
well, we usually get it right after Halloween.
So what do you have in store for us tonight?
I think we're going to talk about a lot of new products, Kickstarters, and, you know, basically what we've been working on, if we've been working on anything. And what else should we talk about? I want to talk about maybe some up-and-coming interviews, because I think I've got one lined up for us.
Awesome. That sounds exciting. So why don't we start off with what we've been up to?
Okay, so what have I been up to? Well, I haven't been able to print anything still. They sent me a part for my printer, but it was too short. So now I'm waiting for a replacement part for that part. But while I've been waiting, I've been working on painting more vehicles. And I started painting my modern Canadians in the CADPAT. I've got one four-man fire team all painted up already, and I'm working on another. CADPAT or digital camouflage is not the easiest of things to paint. Even in 28 millimeter, it's kind of a challenge to make it look semi-realistic or look like CADPAT, period.
But I think you did an amazing job. I'm looking at the pictures right now, and if for anybody who wants to look at the pictures, make sure you go to our Facebook page. That's SITREP Podcast on Facebook, and Chris posted pictures, and they look really good.
I just recently did Flecktarn for Germans for a customer that I was painting for about a month and a half ago, and I should have taken pictures of it because it turned out really nice. I should have taken those pictures. I have to see if I can maybe get him to take some pictures. But other exciting things. What else have I been working on? I think that's it. I've just been painting infantry mostly and one or two vehicles up. I'm waiting for an order from Spectre.
Oh, nice.
Pictures, because I need there's a Mina soldier with a PKM.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put a pintle mount in the back of one of my Jeeps and put him in the back for a crew member.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm waiting for him to show up, and then I'll finish that vehicle. And then I'm working on a fully enclosed one of those UAZ Jeeps. So it's got the canopy and stuff. So that's what I've been working on. Have you been working on anything lately?
Well, I was away
last
week.
You've been out of town, haven't you?
Yeah, I just got back on Sunday. I was out in Colorado. I had a family member at a convention, and I went and tagged along. And while they got stuck at a convention hall in Denver, I decided to go out to the mountains, and I took one night, and I went out and solo camped out in the backcountry. And I tell you what, it was dark. I forgot how dark Colorado can be in the middle of nowhere. I mean, to the point where it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. But you know what? Even when I'm sitting out there around the campfire and, you know, when I was getting into my tent for the night, I started thinking what a scenario you could create. I know it's weird. You start thinking about gaming in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, how you could put in, like, an illegal grow operation in the middle of the mountains, you know, or a hot topic right now here in the U.S. I don't know so much in Canada, but human trafficking.
Yeah.
You could set up a little scenario deep in the mountains. There's an assembly point where the traffickers bring their victims to, and you have the HRT, the hostage rescue team, for the FBI, having to, you know, insert into the mountains somewhere and locate the compound and then rescue the hostages. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
And to do it, you know, with night vision rules. So you're doing it with NVGs. So
yeah,
I just
make it challenging.
Yeah, and just I thought that would make a great, you know, scenario for some gameplay. I still have my SOCR boat that I'm working on. I haven't had a lot of time to finish working on it. I put a layer of a wash on it, and it really toned down the greens to give it more of that military olive drab flat paint. It looks really good.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to spend some time this weekend to, you know, work on that and finish that up. But other than that, that's pretty much all I've done. I've been out hiking in the mountains.
Yeah, the only other thing I've been doing is reading rule books.
Awesome.
I got Skirmish Sangin. Thank you, Colin and Chris, by the way. I've been reading it ever since I got it. Like, I've gone through the main rule book, and I'm going to be reading it a second time starting tonight.
What did you think through your first read through?
I actually like it. I like it a lot. Some of the mechanics, especially the real ranges, that was just like when you're looking at the different ranges for different weapons and you're like, okay, that's realistic, you know, 500 inches. Yes. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
You know, and then the building the characters and the narrative of how it's laid out. And I really, really enjoyed the first read through. Like I said, I'm going to start second read through tonight. And then I'm going to work on reading the Dispatches. I got Dispatches 1 and 2. I got really excited about Dispatches 1 because I didn't realize that the Canadians were in Dispatches 1.
Oh.
And I was like, that's awesome. And then I'm looking at the beginning of the book, and I see this name in the in people that were playtesters and helped with the Canadian list, and it's my buddy Alex at Full Battle Rattle.
Oh, nice!
Helped with the list, and I was like, "That's awesome!" So, yeah, I was quite impressed with the books. Really impressed.
Nice.
I'm definitely going to have to get the Africa book. So, because I think that's where I'm going next after the Ukraine is Africa.
It's a very well written, well thought out book. I enjoyed reading it. If nobody can tell, I'm a huge fan of that gaming system. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to play it as much as I would like to. It's one of those things where in our business, when you are associated with the media side of gaming, it's not all fun and games. Pun is intended. There's a lot of work behind it. You know, I can tell you right now, here in the U.S. studio for On Tabletop / Beast of War, we have a backlog of stuff we have to get filmed and reviewed. It's like we got stuff coming in, and we've had our studio down for refit, and so we have this huge backlog. So people, I don't know if people get the misconception that we have all this time to play games or we play games for fun. And I know it's 10 times worse for the guys over in Ireland. You know, for us, we're doing this part-time. They do this day in, day out. And it's just, you know, so much. There's so much stuff to go into making good quality websites. You know, Lloyd and everybody over there and us filming stuff. It's hard work. It's not easy. Even this podcast, you know, we get together and we plan out ahead of time. We're conversing back and forth on Messenger. You know, the internet's been a godsend for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we shoot ideas back and forth to each other and, you know, say, hey, this will make a good topic. So it's not like we just sit down, roll the dice and see what happens. But I, you know, getting back to my point, sorry, I'm a little under the weather, so I might ramble a lot tonight. But I think Skirmish and all its expansions is a solid rule system, and it would be one that I'd love to do a whole operation with, like, you know, Operation Red Wing or something.
Mm-hmm.
From beginning to end. You play this scenario out that leads you into this, and any casualties and everything, you know, resupply, everything like that falls into it. So you play it through as a whole campaign. And I think that would really fit well. I think better than some other game systems out there as far as a campaign. Just because you're so brought into the depth of the gaming, you know, by your character creation. There are generic lists. So for anybody out there that's not really thrilled about the idea of creating your own troops, there are generic lists in there that you can use.
Yeah.
So it's a really good system. I can't wait to hear from you, you know, and I bet everybody else is excited to hear when you start playing, what you really think of it. And
well, it might happen this Saturday.
Are you really? Awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to talk my kid into trying it out.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm like, I really want to try it out and see how it goes. And I told him, I said, I'll even be the bad guys. Be the good guys if you want.
So is he going to be Canadians then?
He most likely will be the Canadians, and I'm going to play some. I'm going to come up with some quick scenario and see what we can come up with. But I really want to get it so that we can play a quick game and see how the mechanics work and the combat phases and stuff like that. I really want to try that out because I find that interesting how he's laid out, how you determine your combat phases.
Right.
And I really want to try that out, and it looks really good.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to use that as a segue here,
okay,
because I think we're finished talking about
what
we've done. And I'm going to talk about Ultra Combat, 28mm modern miniatures and skirmish rules, and that's from Skirmish Sangin and Radio Dish Dash.
Yeah.
Now, that just – what are we – I think we're 9 days into the Kickstarter.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and he is past his first goal, where I think we're at
When I checked this morning, they were at almost shy of 16,000.
1,000 or something like that, yeah. And I also found out that he has added something new to the pledge level, and that is a rule book by itself.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, apparently he's had quite a few requests for that, so I believe he has added that to the pledge levels. And also he had to clarify that when you do pledge for the 160 or whatever it is, I think New Zealand dollars, that's the full pledge, and that's two platoons. That's a Russian and an American platoon, because there was some confusion as to whether it was just one platoon. It's actually both.
Oh, well, so now I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I backed
that's
it
what I ordered. That's so. What I ordered. I ordered that first day, actually. He's posted some new pictures of some of the new miniatures as he's passed goals. He's posted pictures of new 3D renders of some of the miniatures. Today's, I believe, was a Russian sniper.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, and then he's had a couple others over the last couple days, and they look awesome. You know, really awesome. And the first stretch goal was a platoon HQ. So that's pretty cool. But that one's going really well for Colin and those guys. Now I'm going to use it a little bit of a segue to get into another Kickstarter that I saw that I thought people would be interested in it. And it is, and I'll make sure that if I haven't already, I'll post links on the SitRep Facebook page.
Perfect.
And it's called, it's from a company called Militia Miniatures, and it's called The Bad Guys. And it there's some really cool models. It's 50 new models. They're all 28 mil. And let go. There's two cartel soldier packs. There's a pack A and a pack B for each one. And each pack is 5 miniatures. So the cartel packs are, you know, they're kind of wearing a semi-military uniform with boonie hats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's an African insurgents packs. So there's an A and a B. And there are all kinds of different crazy little outfits, like rubber boots. And, you know, like they look like Somalis. And stuff, and they look awesome. And then there's what else? There's a Republican Guard is what they're calling them, and it's like some crazy general. You know, I guess you could use them for Africa, the Middle East, or wherever. You know,
sure.
And there's two packs for those, and the packs, you know, they come with AKs and RPGs. There's usually one guy with some kind of hand weapon, like a big machete or something. And then there's rioters. So that would be good for anybody that's doing some kind of city fight and there's a bunch of rioting going on and you have to call in, you know, the riot police or whatever. What other ones? There's some American survivalists. And it looks like a bunch of bearded guys and they look really redneck and they got baseball caps and, you know, there's it just looked really interesting. And I think it has a add a lot of character to different themed games that you want to run.
Yeah, they look like preppers. That's what we call
them. They look like preppers. And, you know, that'd be like one of those scenarios where they're hiding up in the mountains and the FBI has to go in or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good option. Do you know how they scale? Have you seen any of their previous miniatures? Do we have any idea of scale-wise?
I took a look at their very first Kickstarter, and I saw it next to, I think it was pictured with a Spectre and an Empress miniature, and it actually looks fairly decently. It looks comparable.
Okay.
Yeah, it looked comparable. I've noticed that a lot of companies are doing that now. I really like that they are thinking about that. If they are making miniatures, they're comparable to other lines of miniatures, especially if they don't have their own rule system or something like that. What else is in that? Oh, there's one of their stretch goals was Humvees with M60 and an M19. And these look to be early Humvees.
Yeah, they look like first gens.
Yeah, they're first gens. And what else? There's a leaders pack that's been unlocked. It's not been unlocked yet. But there's some other stuff. And they also have, as part of the Kickstarter, they have some of their previous miniatures from their first Kickstarter in there as well, so that you can buy some of the previous miniatures as well.
Nice. Well, thank you. I just backed it while we were talking. I appreciate that.
But I think that those miniatures definitely are good buy, especially if you're doing all kinds of narrative stories and you need some kind of like cartel soldiers or like African militia or whatever. I think they're very characterful. They look like they'd be really cool to paint.
You know, speaking of painting.
Yeah.
I don't have time to paint all the time. I wonder where I could send some minis to get painted.
I might know somebody. Recently, I've been doing – I did it once many years ago as a painter. And I stopped after I opened my business. I just didn't have time. But I have recently gone back to painting miniatures for people. And we are taking on contracts right now. I'll make sure to put a link to our Facebook group in the Facebook, and we are called Mimic Painting and Terrain, and I do it with another friend of mine locally, and we do terrain, we do 3D printing, we do painting, and we turn out things fairly fast. I've also there on the Facebook group, you'll be able to see different examples of our paint jobs and stuff like that. My friend Jesse, he does mostly 40K fantasy. He can do pretty much anything, but he prefers to do the sci-fi and fantasy. And I usually leave those to him. And then I usually do the historical or modern. And we both turn out stuff fairly quickly. We paint very fast. We've been told by many, many people that we paint quite quickly. So if you are looking for some painting done, just get a hold of us on there. I'll make sure to put the link in our SITREP Facebook group. What else?
Well, you know, something to think about down the road. I don't know if you do it on your other Facebook page, Walkabout Games. Maybe doing a little tutorial video on CADPAD or something.
Yeah. I think I want to do a few more before I do that.
Okay.
But, it is a possibility. I know there's lots of cool tutorials out there for multicam.
Yeah.
Which
Tim
I've
does
used.
One, doesn't he? From over at
Tim has one. Spectre has one. I think there's somebody else that I know that has one up. And I've used examples from all of those videos to do my multicam.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but I haven't seen too many people do digital camouflage. But if I get it to the point where I really like it, I will make sure to post a video up. I'll be doing some videos on the Skirmish Sangin as I go too. So, well, it's going to be good. I'm really enjoying these rules, and I really want to get more scenarios and more narrative play. So, but what other things? What else is new this in the last couple of weeks?
Well,
we've gotten some new miniatures from Spectre.
Yeah, let's talk about those for a little bit.
That was a bit of a surprise.
It was, you know, they're so darn quiet. I think that comes from Matt's background in the military. He likes to keep everything close to vest.
Yeah, he does.
I'm telling you, we got to get them on a show. Yeah. I think a lot of people would really like to hear from them. You know, I've been talking back and forth with Steven and Matt once in a great while, and I'll reach out to him again and say, dudes.
Okay.
I mean, Matt is always all over the place. You know, if you follow him on Facebook at all, he's all traveling the world around. He does some kind of consulting, so we definitely got to get them in. But as you said, there's been several new releases that they've come out with, and why don't you talk about the vehicle, because that's more up your alley than mine. I only know to blow it up. That's all I know.
Yeah. I kind of was scrolling down my Facebook and I saw this BMP-1 pop up, and I'm like, okay, well, that's really nice. Who's that from? And then I'm like, what, Spectre? I didn't know they were going to do any armor.
Honestly, when I first saw the picture, I thought it was one you posted of you printed it.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that looks awesome. Like, the detail is just amazing. The price is really good too. I was quite impressed with the price. And I've seen a few of them that people have gotten their hands on right now already, and they've already started like painting them up and stuff, and I was just like blown away by the detail. I'm looking at it now and I'm like, whoa, that is just amazing. But what other things were out? There's a drone.
A drone, which is funny because weren't we just talking about drones and scenario? Yes.
Yeah. And then there's the operator for the drone.
Yep.
And then they had some scenery come out.
And they also have a Mars robot as well.
Yes, that was with the I think it's a 240 Bravo on it or something like that. And I thought that just looked phenomenal, like amazing. They do some amazing work. There's so many companies doing so many cool things right now. But that just looked really awesome.
Yeah, it really did.
But the scenery, I really was quite impressed with the scenery that Spectre has turned out.
Okay, which scenery? You know, I missed that.
They had some walls. I'm just trying to find it right now. Here, Spectre miniatures. I always seem to sign on to the other Spectre group. And I'm like, no, that's not the right one. Okay, so there's the BMP that came out.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there was the drone operator. Where is that scenery? There was some walls. Here we go. There we go. I got it coming up. It's just taking forever to load. Yeah, there was three sets of walls.
Okay.
One concrete, one intact brick wall, and then there's another bunch of broken up brick walls.
Okay.
And then there's piles of cinder blocks.
Nice.
And then there were some what looks like civilian models that have come out. Looks like civilians for the Middle East, so the MENA civilians. Those came out. What other ones have come out? Cinder blocks. And then there's like two different packs of MENA civilians. There's a couple guys with cell phones out, and what, two guys that look like Amons.
Uh-huh.
That looks really cool. What other things?
I think that was it.
But then I saw that somebody had done some like pictures of a board, and I was blown away by the board. Every time I see some of the terrain and scenery that some of these companies do for their demo tables,
yeah,
I'm kind of blown away. And it looks like they've done some lighting effects, so it looks like it's you know, at night while they take the pictures, and then they've got some of their technicals with the rocket pod and the anti-aircraft guns on the table. It looks really phenomenal. It looks like it's supposed to be Syria by the looks of it.
Oh my gosh, I did just realize something. I don't know if you're looking. They have a picture of their one table, and I just read the caption. It said, Matt walks Alan, Michael, Allie, and Adrian through some of the rules. Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
that's the Perry brothers.
Oh yeah, they play. They play, yeah.
Look at that. I was like, he got the Perry brothers to, wow.
That's quite crazy.
Too. No wonder the table looks so good. I've never had the privilege to go to the Perry's home where they have their gaming area set up, but I know people who have, and they say it's amazing. It's like a Taj Mahal to miniature wargaming. Just the tables and, you know, everything. Obviously, it's the Perry brothers. Anybody who doesn't know the Perry brothers, you should stop playing war games right now and go read a book.
Yeah,
They started at Games Workshop at the old Citadel Miniatures.
Yeah.
You know, they were there for many, many years, and then they decided they wanted to run their own company, so they started Perry Miniatures, and they make some amazing historical miniatures, and they still do work on the side for other companies, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a ton of their American Civil War stuff. I'm working on a project for Beast of War. Hopefully by next summer we'll have that rolling. So it's really good stuff. I didn't realize Matt was over there with the Perrys. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, that, you know, the terrain and scenery is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to use that for another segue.
Okay.
I'm going to use some more scenery. Okay, so it's been announced just recently that somebody we know at Special Artisan Service Miniatures, Tim Spakowski, is doing some work with Sarissa Precision.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got a compound coming out. And this compound looks pretty familiar to a few people.
I think it reminds me of 13 Hours, if anybody's seen the movie or the book.
Yeah, and I was quite impressed. And so that should be coming out. And I looked at that, and I'm like, that is phenomenal. And that came out of the blue, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. And some of these companies keep it really close to the chest.
I'm going
to
say I'm kind of hurt, Tim, if you're listening. You know, you've been part of the show from the beginning, and we thought we had a good relationship. I thought maybe you'd give us the inside scoop, but oh, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, it looks really good. You know, when I first saw the posting of the picture of the compound, the actual building itself, with the two-level building, when I first saw that, have you ever seen the movie Radon and Tebby?
Oh, I love that movie.
The airport building.
Charles Bronson.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the first thing that came to my mind when I saw just that building before I read everything. And I'm thinking, that would be an excellent scenario to play through, you know, something like that. So it looks really good. I'll tell you what, Sarissa is really upped their game over the last few years.
It's amazing, some of the stuff. I'm just waiting for payday tomorrow, but I've got in the cart to order some ruined buildings for my Ukrainian games. Because I saw them and I'm like, okay, that's a great price. I hear good things about putting their kits together. I'm going to order some. So I've got some, I'll have some kits up pretty soon I can use them for World War II as well. So that'll be handy.
Yeah, that's really nice.
But another couple things Tim. Tim's got a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, he's been a machine lately putting stuff on.
Yeah, Tora Bora Hunters. And he's been painting them. Holy cow, they look amazing.
He has some good videos right now on teaching you
how to paint. And, you know, I looked at those Tora Bora Hunters, and I'm like, wow, maybe I should do Afghanistan, but I really want to do Africa next. But he's also got Operator Yemen. He's got, like, I think there's three miniatures for that. Yeah, there's three miniatures for that, I believe, that are out as well. And I was just blown away by how they look. I believe the sculptor is Igor again. Or Igor. I can never remember how to pronounce his name. But he's also got some, what is this, SBS troopers.
Special boat service.
Yeah, that's nice. But phenomenal looking miniatures again. And I also want to also mention, this is a little bit out of modern, but he's doing what he's calling a Tim Starter right now.
A Tim Starter?
Okay. Yeah, that's what he's calling it. And he's done a video for it. Tim and I share a passion for French Indian War.
Okay.
Okay. And he's got a line of French Indian War miniatures coming out. He's kind of kept that pretty quiet and to himself too. He's been working on it for probably 2 years, a year and a half or something like that. And it's called Savage Frontier. And he's got that coming out, and he's got it on his Facebook group, and it's pretty amazing. I just wanted to let people know about that, because a lot of us modern players play a lot of historical games too.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
So give him a little shout out for that. But yeah, that was those Tora Bora hunters, and the way they're looking in those videos that he's painting, it just looks phenomenal. And I'm blown away by the look, how they look. I will have a video up probably by Sunday up of the Ukrainian miniatures that I bought from him for at least the Ukrainians themselves. And then the next weekend, it'll be the DPR.
Nice.
So people will be able to see how those look pretty quick here too.
Well, I'm cracking then on those seals.
Oh yeah. There's so much stuff to paint, but I'm enjoying painting the modern. I really do like painting the modern. It gives me a nice little break from some Napoleonics, but I'll be going back to that pretty soon too. What else we got to talk about?
Well, you know,
there's so much stuff.
Oh, there is so much stuff right now. It's kind of a really great time for modern.
Yeah.
I was looking at Tiny Terrain Models, their table they had at Fiasco.
Oh, wasn't that amazing?
My God, the amount of detail they have in there. And you said they had basements in these buildings?
You can pull off the levels, and it's got a sub-level where you're actually in basements in these buildings. And I was just like, what? That's amazing. And it looks like sewers as well. It's not just basements. It's sewers.
No kidding.
Oh, like, I was quite blown away by that. Yeah, I was just like, holy cow.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous that the UK has all these little tiny gaming conventions.
Yeah.
I guess we kind of have them here. I don't know about you, Chris, up in Canada. I mean,
we don't have big ones. We don't have very many.
No?
No. We have some back east, and one, I think we have one on the West Coast, but it's been, the one on the West Coast is done by a club that I used to belong to called Trumpeters, and they do one a year, and it's quite a big turnout. But like for big conventions, I don't think Canada has too many. You know, they'll have specialized ones for 40K or a specialized one for Flames of War, but nothing that's multiple games.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah.
Whereas
down there, you've got HistoryCon, you've got Adepticon, you got Gen Con, there's so many, you know, but up here, there's not so many. I wish it would change, but we're spread out. We've got a lower population, and we're spread out a lot more.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, so it's a little more difficult. Whereas England, you know, a little more condensed, you know.
Yeah.
So but what other
pictures
things?
Are amazing.
I know. It's just phenomenal. What other things can we talk about? I saw that somebody you know has shipped trucks out. Was that completion of their Kickstarter?
Oh, who was the truck?
For the LMTV and the FMTVs. What is that? Which terrain company is that?
Modern Miniature Building Authority?
Miniature Building Authority.
Totally brain dead tonight.
I was like, I was scrolling through my notes here, and I was like, I didn't write down the name of the company. I apologize for that. But I saw that some of their trucks are starting to show up.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, look at the 50 on top of that truck. But I noticed that those are coming out. I believe there's another company that's come out. They're doing some modern Chinese, and I believe they're in Kickstarter right now. And they've also done, maybe they haven't gone to Kickstarter yet. I don't think that's the name of the company, but the person that's posting it's PMGS. And let's see Popcorn and Marshmallow Game Studio. Okay, that's quite the entertaining name. But they're doing some modern Chinese soldiers, and they've done, and I'll make sure to share this post onto SITREP's Facebook group, but they've done a PLA Chinese attack jeep. And it's mounting a heavy machine gun. It's a 3D render right now, but it's quite impressive looking. I don't think I've seen anything like it before. I'll have to look up and see if it's an actual real thing later. But it looks interesting. But I don't think I've seen any other Kickstarters. That was a lot of new stuff that's hit in the last 2 weeks since our last podcast, though.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of different stuff that I've seen.
Well, Crooked Dice has put out some modern miniatures. I don't know if this is for their Game 7 TV. It's called the Governor General's Army.
I just saw that. Those look interesting.
So obviously you could use this for a rogue. It would be perfect for one of those rogue nations in the Africa campaign book.
Yeah, yeah.
For Radio Dish Dash for Skirmish. So they look pretty interesting. Wow. There's just so many offerings out there right now. You know, speaking of terrain and scenarios, don't we have a contest?
We do, and we are about to announce a winner here. I'm going to get his name here, and we will announce the winner. I was quite impressed with this scenario. I'm actually thinking I'm going to try running this scenario. He ran it at a convention. And I will look to see which convention. He did a convention called MCON 18. And the scenario is called Seizure at Sevastopol. And I was quite impressed when looking at the amount of time and effort he put in to this scenario. Like, the map's got the icons for the different units. And just the objectives. He's put in a lot of work into this scenario. I'd be interested. His name is Andrew Fisher. So Andrew Fisher, you're the first winner of one of our contests on SITREP.
Congratulations, Andrew.
So I will be getting in contact with you, we will send you your prize. But Andrew, I'm really impressed by this scenario. The other ones were really well written, but it's just the amount of effort you guys went into just doing the map and the objectives and all the other things and the situation report. Yeah, it was quite impressive. So you're the winner. Congratulations.
Yes, that is awesome. So keep your ears open. We'll have contests in the future as the channel grows, as we near that 100 mark too. So
yes.
Is awesome. So a couple little news items I thought I'd like to talk about, just give people ideas. One that came out this past week that's near and dear to my heart is that my old home division, in the Army, everybody pretty much is assigned to a home division when you first enlist, unless you go into special ops, and then obviously you're pretty much assigned to Special Operations Command. And mine was the 82nd, so this past week, they've made the announcement that we're getting armor back. For those who don't follow that stuff too well, the 82nd hasn't had tanks since the mid-80s. I think they phased them out by the end of the 80s. We used to have the M551 Sheridans. Sheridans, right? Yeah, Sheridans.
Yeah.
And yes, they could be dropped out of an airplane. I've witnessed it several times. So this past week, somewhere in the dusty halls of the 82nd Command or even higher, they decided that we needed armor again. So the answer right now, I hear this is a test.
This is a stopgap, I think.
Yeah, this is a stopgap until they come up with something more permanent. But the old 68th armor's coming back. And they're going to have what? The LAVs, the LAV-25s.
The LAV-25s. I've posted a link to some information about it on the SIPREP podcast Facebook group. So, yeah, it's quite impressive. Part of the reason that they've gone with the LAV-25 instead of the Stryker is because you can only fit three of the Stryker on the cargo aircraft, whereas you can fit four of the LAV-25 on the on the aircraft. That's part of the reasoning. Plus, they had them in surplus, the Marine Corps. Yeah. I find it very funny.
Yeah, we're finally getting leftovers from the Marines. Who would have thought?
Leftovers from the Marines. It's usually the other way around.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it even in the article, it mentions that the Marine Corps is old crap.
That's so, all right. That's
yeah,
right.
That was an interesting article.
So, I mean, that just opens up more possibilities for things. You know, if you're one of those people that has to be true to life as far as, you know, your TOEs, you now mm-hmm. have this option. Because you could play skirmish with 82nd Airborne or the 101st, you know, any yeah. of those. So, nice thing about that or any of the games. You know, you could do Spectre with, you know, real life units. 82nd, 101st, 10th Mountain, whatever the yep. case may be. It's just how you play it. But I thought that was really interesting that how things come full circle, you know?
Yeah.
And we're back to having some armor in some form back with the 82nd, which is going to make me want to take a pilgrimage back out to Fort Bragg probably next May during Airborne Week to see if they do some drops with it. When I was out there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You know, when we had Airborne Week, it's a week-long basically festival where the public gets to see, you know, what the division does. We did a lot of jumps. We did all kinds of things. You know, there was air assaults and, you know, anything that the division used to do. So we might see some heavy drops. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Another thing I had posted up on the Facebook group was a new company that I'd never heard of, and it's out of Spain, I believe. And they have a line of, I guess you'd call them ultra modern to modern. I guess you could use them for modern, but I think they look more ultra modern. And what's the name of the company here? I'm just going to bring it up here. Euphoria Miniatures.
Uh-huh.
And I've put the link in the SITREP podcast, and they've got some interesting, very characterful-looking ultra-modern miniatures. There's even one with a dog, and then there's some with some M4s, and you know, just different they look like Tier 1 operators and stuff like that. So I put a link to those there because I know there's lots of people that are looking for different kinds of miniatures just to represent, you know, the operators and all that kind of stuff. So they're more mixed civilian and military uniforms and gear.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little bit more options and stuff like that. So that's another company. I've done up a list of, you know, because we don't talk about this very often, but I've done up a list of 20 mil miniature companies that do miniatures. So I'll be posting some kind of link to that pretty soon. And I'm working on the 28 mil. So if you guys have a company or know of a company for 28 mil that maybe I haven't heard of, put a post up. Send me a message because I would like to do a, you know, lists for people so
that would be nice.
You know, go out there. Oh, these guys don't make this. well, maybe this, there's some other company. And it's sometimes your Google Foo doesn't work very well and you can't find it. But I'm going to make a list of 20 mil and 28 mil modern miniature options so that all of us can find what we're looking for, what we need for our games. So, and if you're a miniatures company and I haven't heard of you, send me or G a message.
Yes, most definitely. We'd love to promote you on the show and talk to you and, you know, get the word out to everybody out there, because there are people that are hungry for this stuff.
Yeah. I see more and more releases every week. Like I said, the last 2 weeks, I just was not expecting that many releases and Kickstarters and stuff like that. So, I'm going to be really broke this month.
You know, some of the other things I've been posting up, you've been busy on the Facebook page, Chris. I'm glad you're kind of picking up the slack. I really got to step up.
Well,
you've been posting some stuff like North Hag, early play tests. You know, it looks like, what are they using, 6 mils for this? Is it 6 mil, 50 mil?
I believe Plastic Soldier Company is going to be bringing out modern miniatures in 10 mil.
That's 10 mil. Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm a sucker for...
I am really pumped to see modern in 10 mil for large scale battles.
Yeah. I am a sucker for smaller scale miniatures. I don't know, but I saw you posted something for Saber Squadron.
I played a game recently with one of my friends. I played the British Army of the Rhine, and I played a mechanized platoon with a squadron of three chieftains with some, mobile rapiers team, a harrier, and I had some offboard mortar support. And the offboard mortar support was totally useless. Didn't do much until the very end of the game. He didn't bring his aircraft on. So, my rapier was pretty useless, and we're playing a set campaign. So the next game I'm going to have what was left plus some more infantry. So I have no tank support in the next game because I lost all three chieftains because of, his artillery fire, was just devastating. He laid down a smoke screen that lasted four turns, and I couldn't see him. And he just, it was pretty phenomenal. It was set in the year, I think about 85, we set it. So it was a really good game. I enjoyed it. The game is math heavy. If you are going to play Saber Squadron, be prepared for math a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's one of those games that you have to play multiple times on a fairly regular basis to get it down. But once we started getting into it, it wasn't that bad. But he had a full company of infantry with tank support and aircraft and artillery, and I had a platoon with a squadron of tanks, basically. And I did win at the end, but I lost a lot of stuff just because of the artillery.
Gotcha. So,
I'll be going into the next game with not very much, but
no aircraft support at all.
I will have a Harrier. He didn't shoot down my Harrier, so I'll probably have a Harrier, and I think I got a little bit more artillery support in the next game.
Gotcha.
So it was a lot of fun to play.
Awesome. Yeah. So I think we should make a point of clarification when we talked about the vehicles and Miniature Building Authority. It's actually Kurt's other company called Tabletop Tactical Simulations, TTTS.
Okay.
So I forgot he has he branches off from the terrain side,
mm-hmm.
and the vehicles are under Tabletop Tactical Simulations. So just for anybody who wants to clarify on that, I picked that up. Totally forgot about that. So I have a topic I want to throw out there to everybody. And Chris, I'm
sure
this may make your head spin a little bit. A new way to play a game.
Okay.
It may have been done in the past. I don't know. How about real-time simultaneous play? And what I mean by that is you have, we'll say, two players. One player playing, we'll say, a Canadian squad.
Yeah.
And then you have another player playing the Taliban. It isn't I go, you go. It isn't I go one unit, you go one unit, or it isn't alternate activations. It's not random activations. It's simultaneous activations.
Oh.
So everything happens simultaneous.
Okay.
Just like in the real world. Now, people are going to go, what? Wait, you can't do that. It's too confusing. So basically, you have a movement factor. So everybody moves at the same time. So you already can have in your idea, I want my squad to move this way. I want my bad guys to move this way. And you're doing it all at the same time. You know, obviously, there's going to have to be some checks and balances at some point. Mm-hmm. So you can't like, oh, I see you moving. I'm going to move that way. So, but there should be, if you're doing Overwatch, you would be able to, you know, interrupt movement. You know, combat should happen at the same time. I've been kicking this idea around that it should be a simultaneous action game.
Okay.
Everything happens at the same time instead of, one, I think it takes away the boredom factor of, oh, my God, you got to move all your guys, and we're going to sit here and wait, especially if you got to think about it, yada, yada, yada. You know, or, okay, you're going to move one unit, I'm going to move one unit, you know, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives you that adrenaline rush of simultaneously, okay, I'm moving, and you don't have to move. You know, if you're the bad guys and want to set up an ambush, you set up an ambush, you know, because you don't know where he's going to move to. So then it comes down to, well, if my guys are on the table, he's going to know where my ambush site is. He could just move around it. So, again, these are ideas I'm kicking around in my head. But the basic premise is everything happens all at the same time.
I get it. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'd try to think of the mechanics of that.
If it worked, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, it'd be a great failure. You know, I've got to believe somewhere along the line, somebody has thought of this and have tried it in some format. I've never heard of anybody actually doing it, but I don't know. It's just, especially in the modern era where it's smaller units, things happen much faster than they used to. Things are so much more mobile. There's got to be a way you could do it. It's just one of those topics something that I would think about quite often that I would love to sit down and try.
I'm going to have to think about that because that does sound like an interesting idea. It's just trying to figure out how the mechanics would work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, think about this.
So if you had simultaneous combat going on, so you had, let's say you had a two-man team come through an entryway into a compound within, like an Afghan compound where you have the courtyard inside. And then you had a couple Taliban guys sitting in there. So how do you roll off? So you roll off, is there an initiative roll off? Do you roll off because these are elite operators, you know, so they get a bonus? Do the guys here, because they didn't move and they're sitting in ambush, do they get a bonus? So that would kind of determine who gets the upper hand in the roll off. And then, you know, so then you look at like an accuracy factor. So you roll off, who hits who, it affects the return fire accuracy. So just things like that. It sounds more complicated as I talk about it than in my head, but there's got to be a way to condense it to make it playable and fun. I just think it would make a game flow faster, and it would, I want a game. One of the things I'm thinking about this obviously is some realism, but also I want you to step back at the end of the game and be sweaty.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that was intense.
Yeah.
That was fun and it was intense. So, I don't know. Have you ever thought of rule systems, you know, out of the top of your head that you'd think that would be something you'd like to try or something you'd like to tweak?
Yeah. There's just been a few over the years. I'm going to have to try to think of one that might actually be able to be converted to do that, because most of the games, and until about 10 or 12 years ago, were always you go, I go.
Yeah.
And
I think it's just action changed that up quite a bit.
Yes, yeah, with the dice system. But yeah, I could have to think about that. See what's out there that might work. That we can convert to making it so it's faster paced, real time. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, actually. I didn't even think about that.
Well, you have anything else for the show today?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
All right. So
it was a lot of stuff.
It was a lot of stuff. We covered a lot of ground. There was a lot of stuff coming out. Definitely helps going to this every other week format. Gives us time to collect material. Just so everybody's aware, we have been asked by the Beast of War crew to do a special Veterans Day, Remembrance Day, Armistice Day. What do you call it up there in Canada? Is it Remembrance Day?
Yeah.
Here in the U.S., we call it Veterans Day, and over in the U.K., I believe they call it Armistice Day. Is that what they call it, or they call it Remembrance Day?
Yeah, I believe that's what it's called, yeah.
Okay, so they've asked us to put together a special show for November 11. So we'll definitely work on that. And in the meantime, I'm G. This is Chris. You're listening to the SITREP Modern Miniature Wargaming Podcast. And as we like to say, we're going to RTB, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.